Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. We're in the last part. It's not real short, this last part, but it is the last part, part 8, which begins after his return from his last journey to Susquehanna, all the way until his death. It is 1746. Hitherto, and I'm reading Mr. Edwards' comments now, Jonathan Edwards. Hitherto, Mr. Brainerd had kept a constant diary, giving an account of what passed from day to day with very little interruption. But henceforward, his diary is very much interrupted by his illness, under which he was often brought so low as either not to be capable of writing, or not well able to bear the burden of a care so constant as was requisite, to recollect everything what had passed in the day, and to digest it and set down an orderly account of it in writing. However, his diary was not wholly neglected, but he took care, from time to time, to take some notice in it of the most material things concerning himself and the state of his mind, even till within a few days of his death, as the reader will see later. It is Lord's Day, September 21, 1746. I was so weak I could not preach, nor pretend to ride over to my people in the forenoon. In the afternoon rode out, sat in my chair, and discoursed to my people from Romans 14, verses 7 and 8, where it says, "For none of us liveth to himself," and so on. I was strengthened and helped in my discourse. There appeared something agreeable in the assembly. I returned to my lodgings, extremely tired, but thankful that I had been enabled to speak a word to my poor people I had been so long absent from. Was able to sleep very little this night, through weariness and pain. Oh, how blessed should I be if the little I do were all done with right views. Oh, that whether I live, I might live to the Lord, and so on. Saturday, September 27, spent this day, as well as the whole week past, under a great degree of bodily weakness, and exercised with a violent cough and considerable fever. I had no appetite to any kind of food, frequently brought up what I ate as soon as it was down, and oftentimes had little rest in my bed by reason of pains in my chest and back. I was able, however, to ride over to my people about 2 miles every day and take care of some of those who were then at work upon a small house for me to reside in amongst the Indians. I was sometimes scarce able to walk and never able to sit up the whole day through the week. I was calm and composed and but little exercised with melancholy damps as in former seasons of weakness. Whether I should ever recover or no seemed very doubtful, but this was many times a comfort to me that life and death did not depend upon my choice. I was pleased to think that he who is infinitely wise had the determination of this matter, and that I had no trouble to consider and weigh things upon all sides in order to make the choice, whether I should live or die. Thus my time was consumed. I had little strength to pray, none to write or read, and scarce any to meditate. But through divine goodness, I could with great composure look death in the face, and frequently with sensible joy. Oh, how blessed it is to be habitually prepared for death. The Lord grant that I may be actually ready also. Lord's Day, September 28, rode to my people, and though under much weakness, attempted to preach from 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves," and so on. I discoursed about half an hour, at which season divine power seemed to attend the word, but being extremely weak, I was obliged to desist, and after a turn of faintness, with much difficulty, rode to my lodgings, where, betaking myself to my bed, I lay in a burning fever, almost delirious, for several hours, till towards morning my fever went off with a violent sweat. I've often been feverish and unable to rest quietly after preaching, but this was the most severe, distressing turn that ever preaching brought upon me. Yet I felt perfectly at rest in my own mind because I had made my utmost attempts to speak for God and knew I could do no more. Tuesday, September 30. Yesterday and today was in the same weak state, or rather weaker than in days past. I was scarce able to sit up half the day. Was in a composed frame of mind, remarkably free from dejection and melancholy damps, as God has been pleased in a great measure to deliver me from these unhappy glooms in the general course of my present weakness hitherto, and also from a peevish forward spirit. And oh, how great a mercy is this! Oh, that I might always be perfectly quiet in seasons of greatest weakness, although nature should sink and fail. Oh, that I may always be able with utmost sincerity to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. This, through grace, I can say at present with regard to life or death, the Lord do with me as seems good in his sight, that whether I live or die, I may glorify him who is worthy to receive blessing and honor and dominion forever. Amen. Saturday, October 4. Spent the former part of this week under a great degree of infirmity and disorder, as I had done several weeks before. Was able, however, to ride a little every day, although unable to sit up half the day till Thursday. I took some care daily of some persons at work upon my house. On Friday afternoon found myself wonderfully revived and strengthened, and having some time before given notice to my people, and those of them at the Forks of Delaware in particular, that I designed, with leave of Providence, to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper upon the first Sabbath in October, the Sabbath now approaching. On Friday afternoon I preached, preparatory to the sacrament, from 2 Corinthians 13:5, finishing what I had proposed to offer upon the subject to the Sabbath before. The sermon was blessed of God to the stirring up of religious affection and spirit of devotion in the people of God, and to the greatly affecting one who had backslidden from God, which caused him to judge and condemn himself. I was surprisingly strengthened in my work while I was speaking, but I was obliged immediately after to repair to bed, being now removed into my own house among the Indians, which gave me such speedy relief and refreshment as I could not well have lived without. Spent some time on Friday night in conversing with my people about divine things as I lay upon my bed, and I found my soul refreshed, though my body was weak. This being Saturday, I discoursed particularly with divers of the communicants, and this afternoon preached from Zechariah 12:10, where it says, I will pour out on the house of David, and so on. There seemed to be a tender melting and hearty mourning for sin in numbers in the congregation. My soul was in a comfortable frame, and I enjoyed freedom and assistance in public service. Was myself, as well as most of the congregation, much affected with the humble confession and apparent brokenheartedness of the forementioned backslider, and could not but rejoice that God had given him such a sense of his sin and unworthiness. Was extremely tired in the evening, but lay on my bed and discoursed to my people. Lord's Day, October 5. I was still very weak, and in the morning considerably afraid I should not be able to go through the work of the day, having much to do both in private and public. Discoursed before the administration of the sacrament from John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, where I considered first in what respects Christ is called the Lamb of God, and observe that he is so called, number one, from the purity and innocency of his nature, number two, from his meekness and patience under sufferings, number three, from his being that atonement which was pointed out in the sacrifice of lambs, and in particular by the paschal lamb. And then Roman numeral 2 considered how and in what sense he takes away the sin of the world, and I observed that the means and manner in and by which he takes away the sins of men was his giving himself for them, doing and suffering in their room instead, and so on. And he is said to take away the sin of the world, and not because all the world shall actually be redeemed, from sin by him, but because, number one, he has done and suffered sufficient to answer for the sins of the world and so to redeem all mankind. And number two, he actually does take away the sins of the elect world. And then Roman numeral three, I considered how we are to behold him in order to have our sin taken away. Number one, not with our bodily eyes, nor number two, by imagining him on the cross, but by a spiritual view of his glory and goodness, engaging the soul to rely on him, and so on. The divine presence attended this discourse. The assembly was considerably melted with divine truths. After sermon, I baptized two persons, then administered the Lord's Supper to near 40 communicants of the Indians, besides various dear Christians of the white people. It seemed to be a season of divine power and grace, and numbers seemed to rejoice in God. Oh, the sweet union and harmony then appearing among the religious people. My soul was refreshed, and my religious friends of the white people with me. After the sacrament, I could scarcely get home. It was not more than 20 roods, but was supported and led by my friends and laid on my bed, where I lay in pain until sometime in the evening, and then was able to sit up and discourse with friends. Oh, how was this day spent in prayers and praises among my dear people. Now I have to interject here just a moment. I just read over something that maybe you didn't get about a rood, 20 roods. He was just 20 roods away, while a rood, according to my dictionary, is about 7 or 8 yards in a British measure. So you go 20 times 7, you get how many yards he had to travel to get home. Nothing like what he had to go before. All right. We continue. One might hear my people all the morning before public worship and in the evening till near midnight, praying and singing praises to God in one or other of their houses. My soul was refreshed, though my body was weak. Okay, so this week in 2 days, says Jonathan Edwards, though in a very low state, he went to Elizabethtown to attend the meeting of the synod there, but was disappointed by its removal to New York. He continued in a very composed, comfortable frame of mind. It's Saturday now, October 11. Towards night was seized with a sickness which was followed with a hard fever and considerable pain, was treated with great kindness. It was a shame to see so much concern about so unworthy a creature as I knew myself to be. Was in a comfortable frame of mind, wholly submissive with regard to life or death. It was indeed a peculiar satisfaction to me to think that it was not my concern or business to determine whether I should live or die. I likewise felt peculiarly satisfied while under the uncommon degree of disorder, being now fully convinced of my being really weak and unable to perform my work. Whereas at other times my mind was perplexed with fears that I was a misimprover of time by conceding that I was sick when I was not in reality so. Oh, how precious is time, and how guilty it makes me feel when I think I have trifled away and misimproved it or neglected to fill up each part of it with duty to the utmost of my ability and capacity. Lord's Day, October 12. Was scarce able to sit up in the forenoon. In the afternoon attended public worship and was in a composed, comfortable frame. Lord's Day, October 19. I was scarcely able to do anything at all in the week past, except that on Thursday I rode out about 4 miles, at which time I took cold. As I was able to do little or nothing, so I enjoyed not much spirituality or lively religious affection. Though sometimes I longed much to be more fruitful and full of heavenly affection, and was grieved to see the hours slide away while I could do nothing for God. Was able this week to attend public worship, was composed and comfortable, willing either to die or live, but found it hard to be reconciled to the thoughts of living useless. Oh, that I might never live to be a burden to God's creation, that I might be allowed to repair home when my sojourning work is done. This week he went back to his Indians at Cranberry, to take some care of their spiritual and temporal concerns. He was much spent with riding, though he rode but a little way in a day. Thursday, October 23, went to my own house and set things in order. Was very weak and somewhat melancholy. Labored to do something, but had no strength. Was forced to lie down on my bed, very solitary. Friday, October 24, spent the day in overseeing and directing my people about mending their fence and securing their wheat. Found that all their concerns of a secular nature depended upon me. Was somewhat refreshed in the evening, having been able to do something valuable in the daytime. Oh, how it pains me to see time pass away, when I can do nothing to any purpose. Saturday, October 25. Visited some of my people, spent some time in writing, and felt much better in body than usual. When it was near night, I felt so well that I had thoughts of expounding, but in the evening was much disordered again, and spent the night in coughing and spitting blood. Lord's Day, October 26, in the morning was exceeding weak. Spent the day till near night in pain to see my poor people wandering as sheep, not having a shepherd, waiting and hoping to see me able to preach to them before night. It could not but distress me to see them in this case, and to find myself unable to attempt anything for their spiritual benefit. But towards night, finding myself a little better, I called them together to my house. I sat down and read and expounded Matthew 5, 1-16. This discourse, though delivered in much weakness, was attended with power to many of the hearers, especially what was spoken upon the last of these verses, where I insisted on the infinite wrong done to religion by having our light become darkness instead of shining before men. Many in the congregation were now deeply affected with a sense of their deficiency in regard of a spiritual conversation that might recommend religion to others, and a spirit of concern and watchfulness seemed to be excited in them. There was one in particular who had fallen into the sin of drunkenness some time before. Now deeply convinced of his sin and the great dishonor done to religion by his misconduct, and he discovered a great degree of grief and concern on that account. My soul was refreshed to see this, though I had no strength to speak so much as I would have done, but was obliged to lie down on the bed. Yet I rejoiced to see such a humble melting in the congregation, and that divine truths, though faintly delivered, were attended with so much efficacy upon the auditory. Monday, October 27. Spent the day in overseeing and directing the Indians about mending the fence around their wheat. Was able to walk with them and contrive their business all the forenoon. In the afternoon was visited by two dear friends. Spent some time in conversation with them. Towards night I was able to walk out and take care of the Indians again. In the evening enjoyed a very peaceful frame. Tuesday, October 28, rode to Princetown. In a very weak state. Had such a violent fever, by the way, that I was forced to alight at a friend's house and lie down for some time. Near night was visited by Mr. Treat, Mr. Beatty, and his wife, and another friend. My spirits were refreshed to see them, but I was surprised and even ashamed that they had taken so much pains as to ride 30 or 40 miles to see me. I was able to sit up most of the evening and spent the time in a very comfortable manner with my friends. Wednesday, October 29, rode about 10 miles with my friends that came yesterday to see me, and then parted with them all but one, who stayed on purpose to keep me company and cheer my spirits. Was extremely weak and very feverish, especially towards night, but enjoyed comfort and satisfaction. Thursday, October 30, rode 3 or 4 miles to visit Mr. Wales. Spent some time in an agreeable manner in conversation, and though extremely weak, enjoyed a comfortable, composed frame of mind. Friday, October 31, spent the day among friends in a comfortable frame of mind, though exceeding weak and under a considerable fever. Saturday, November 1, took leave of friends after having spent the forenoon with them and returned home to my own house. Was much disordered in the evening and oppressed with my cough, which has now been constant for a long time, with a hard pain in my breast and fever. Lord's Day, November 2, was unable to preach, scarcely able to sit up the whole day. I was grieved and almost sunk to see my poor people destitute of the means of grace, especially considering they could not read, and so were under great disadvantages for spending the Sabbath comfortably. Oh, methought, I could be contented to be sick if my poor flock had a faithful pastor to feed them with spiritual knowledge. A view of their need of this was more afflictive to me than all my bodily illness. Monday, November 3. Being now in so weak and low a state that I was utterly incapable of performing my work, and having little hope of recovery, unless by much riding, I thought it my duty to take a long journey into New England, and to divert myself among my friends, whom I had not seen now for a long time. Accordingly, I took leave of my congregation this day. Before I left my people, I visited them all in their respective houses, and discoursed to each one as I thought most proper and suitable for their circumstances, and found great freedom and assistance in so doing. I scarcely left one house, but some were in tears, and many were not only affected with my being about to leave them, but with the solemn addresses I made them upon divine things. For I was helped to be fervent in spirit while I discoursed to them. When I had thus gone through my congregation, which took me most of the day, and had taken leave of them and of the school, I left home, and rode about 2 miles to the house where I lived in the summer past, and there I lodged. Was refreshed this evening in that I had left my congregation so well disposed and affected that I had been so much assisted in making my farewell address to them. Let's leave it right there, right before November the 4th, okay? Thank you so much for joining in these constant talks about this one man and his constant trouble. It must be difficult to hear after a while, and yet we all have to go through seasons of difficulty. His later life all seemed to be a difficulty, didn't it? Well, you probably have people around you that need your prayers. This man, David Brainerd, will help you to be a little more sensitive in your praying for them. Maybe you're the one who needs it. May God help you. Let me just pray right now, Father, if there's someone listening right now who is in need of your special graces tonight. Perhaps your healing, you're able to do that. Or perhaps just comfort, or just the knowledge that all is going to be well, that you are going to take care of things. Just would you give that person that comfort tonight? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Hackberry House of Cho Sun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.